Returning today, please, to Psalm 37. It seems our selections today, both singing and congregational reading, and from our reading now, are taken from the anatomy of the soul. As Mr. Calvin said, the Psalms were, Psalm 37 is what we're reading from just now. We're looking at the 22nd verse. We're going to start reading there. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, now as we have the word open, our prayer is simple. We need our hearts open to receive the word. I need my heart open to be filled with the power of God to speak the word faithfully and clearly. I pray, dear God, that there would be a good fit between the word spoken and the reception in the heart. And Lord, encourage thy people. Help us to dwell much upon the truth of thy precious and holy word. Let us not wander far away. We know, Lord, that trouble comes to those who are righteous. We know that trouble comes to those who are saved. We know that there is no free ride or easy journey through this life. And therefore, O God, help us to walk by faith, and to walk in peace, and to walk with the assurance and the confidence that we have by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Lord, hear our prayer now today. We think, Father, of any in our meeting or listening online who are not saved. Lord, we cannot save them. Our words fall on deaf ears. Lord, speak, we pray, with a voice that wakens their deadened soul. And hear our prayers now today, we ask, for we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Verse 28 of this psalm, I draw your attention to today, and really primarily the phrase that's right in the middle of that verse, but we read the entire. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Preservation. What does it mean? And how are we to understand this and apply it in our own life? You know, we often think about preserving the things that we have. Anyone who is going to be sensible and careful about their own belongings, well, you try to preserve the clothing that you have in your wardrobe or that you have on your back. And the purpose is you want it to last as long as possible. We keep our cars maintained if we want them to run reliably. We refrigerate food so that it will not spoil. We put beauty cream on to try and avoid the wrinkles. Some of us more than others, but the wrinkles, they come. We try to preserve our looks, whatever they are, in absence or not, and we try to go forward to make ourselves, well, as presentable as we can, preserving ourselves from looking older than we really are. We take every precaution to protect our lives from danger, from things seen and unseen. Yes, our lives are occupied with avoiding pain and by enjoying peace and goodness. Now, that's part of the makeup. All these things are not bad. They are good in themselves. They are, in fact, very natural and part of our makeup and our being. But you know, this text we have read today that's talking about the preserving of the Lord, it's a different kind. I'm very happy that the Lord has promised to preserve us. In fact, it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that we are preserved forever. We are kept from spoiling by God's infinite grace. Think on that today. Through the life and through the atoning work of our Savior upon the cross, from all that He has done for us and every single thing He continues to do unto this day by way of intercession. We are in Christ this morning by faith. And if, friend, you are a believer in the Lord, if you have received Him as your own, then today you will never perish. You will never spoil. You are in His hand, and He holds you as His own. And so I'm thinking, first of all, by this question, what kind of preservation are we talking about here? This is a spiritual, primarily, type of preservation. Why, it starts with God. And it starts with the plan of our salvation in eternity. God has chosen us unto Himself. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Sometimes when people look at this truth, they will say and interpret it that it means that God looked down through the corridors of time and He chose those who were choosing Him or would choose Him. The only problem with that line of reasoning is that it places the cart before the horse, as the saying goes. And it makes our salvation contingent upon man's ability, upon man's wisdom, upon man's education, upon man's insight, or whatever else we want to call it, but not solely upon the sovereign, matchless, infinite love and grace of our God. You know, being saved from our sin is a work that starts with God from eternity. And it's finished by Him in time. Yes, the Lord chose us before any of us were around. But in time, it is worked through. And it comes to pass because of the great plan of Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And my dear friend, be assured of this, that what the Lord commenced, what He started, He is able to finish, and He will complete it. Because when we are told that Jesus is the finisher of our faith, it means that all has been accomplished. And God sees you and me today through that finished work of Jesus. And He sees you and I today as if we are already in glory. And believer, that can be an encouragement to you going through the very deep and hard struggles of your life and where you are right now. We are saved, my friend, not by our ability, not by the will of the flesh or the will of man or the education that we have. No, no. Salvation is all by the grace of God, lest any man should boast. And boast we would. I mean, if salvation depended on some percentage point of what we can contribute to the whole matter, then in heaven we would say, well, I'm there because you remember that day, and you remember what I did and how I decided this, and I'm here because of some part of my contribution to this. But no, friends, salvation is the free gift of receiving what God has given to us. And we receive that by faith alone. In our text, the word preserve means simply to keep or to guard. And you know, the first mention of this in the Bible, we find it in Genesis 2:15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to preserve it." So the Garden of Eden that God put Adam in, He had him a purpose for it. Very sadly, though, the second mention in the Bible has to do with when Adam had sinned. And God sent the cherubim, the angels, with flaming swords, turned this way and that way, turned every way. What were they doing? They turned every way to keep the tree of life and to keep man from coming to the tree of life. And this, my friend, is a great mercy. Because while Adam was in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was there to be observed, but it was not to be eaten of. And the Lord said, "Adam, you can eat of everything I provided for you, but you will not eat of that one tree." And when Adam sinned by eating of the tree of knowledge, if he had now taken of the tree of life, which he could eat freely of before this, by the way, if he was to eat of the tree of life after he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have been sealed in his eternal damnation. And God protected him from that. And God provided that the angels would keep that way. I wonder, friend, what about you this very morning? You've come under the protection of God's sovereign preserving grace, but maybe someone here at this point in time, you're still outside of Christ. You still have not trusted in Him as your own personal Savior. Why do we emphasize this message to you over and over again in our congregation? Why is this same truth presented that you must flee from your sin and flee to Christ? Because, my friend, it is absolutely essential that you have a personal, living, real relationship with the Lord. Because apart from that, you can never see Him and you will never. You will never come to know the joy of eternal life and of peace with God. And so, my friend, in the very first place, the meaning of this word preservation, it has to do with our eternal soul. It has to do with salvation. But in a very practical and real way within our life, it all has to do with how we are going to survive in this life. How we are going to continue on. How we are going to persevere. Will you do this by your own strength? God says that I will preserve you forever. When we think of David, who wrote many of the Psalms, God preserved him from his enemies while he was on this earth. He fought many of them, whether they were the Philistines or when he was fleeing from Saul, who tried to take his life. You know what? You and I, in a similar illustration, have enemies. We have the greatest enemy that comes against our soul, and that greatest enemy, of course, is Satan that inspires all that come against the people of God. And whatever challenge or struggle you're going through in your present course now, you might think it's horrendous. You might have felt the battering rams of the wicked one against your soul, and you're wondering, Lord, I'm about to cave in. I'm about, Lord, to fall under the weight of this. I can't take it anymore. Friend, know this with all certainty and with the assurance of God's Word and His Spirit. The Lord is your preserver, your keeper. And He is watching over you every moment. You are never out of His sight. You're never out of His control. You're never out of His superintendence. The Lord's watchful eye is upon us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. But from the beginning of the day to the end of the day and all through the night seasons when you are asleep and vulnerable, the Lord is watching over you. And that's why we sang in those hymns and the psalm this morning that emphasized that we are preserved in Jesus. I'm thankful about that. But we are preserved for our everyday walk and journey against the enemy of our soul that comes against us. And sometimes we think about, well, human enemies, if we could put it that way. Those that try to come against our walk, our testimony. But really, when you think about it, all of those enemies, little ones that come against us, they're all really motivated or inspired by the greater enemy. Let us be careful, friend, as Christians, as believers, that we are not guilty in any dimension of doing the work of the devil by causing injury or upset to our brothers or sisters in the Lord. Let us be careful that we are walking in the fear of the Lord, that He is governing us and directing us by His Spirit. Men, David also went through a time of difficulty from those who were friends of his or an associate with him. Do you remember the situation at Ziklag after it had been burned? And those who were with David and the people, they lost everything. All had been taken from them. And then they turned their eyes upon David and they said, this man is the cause of this. And so they took up stones to stone him. And David at that time encouraged himself in the Lord. And believer, that's exactly what you must do. It's exactly what I must do. As we're going through this pilgrim journey, we're living our life for the Lord. We want to honor Him. And sometimes you're going to be misunderstood. Sometimes you'll be taken in a bad way. Just at those times, let us not turn against our brothers or sisters, but rather to say, Lord, let me be directed by Your Spirit. Let me be encouraged by the Lord Himself, because I know that my God is my great preserver, the one who is my great keeper. Yes, we can suffer from the great enemy that comes against us, and we may suffer from those who are our brothers and sisters or friends or family members even. But you know, the greatest deliverance or preservation that you and I need today is not from those areas. It's from ourselves. And the Lord saved David from himself many occasions. Remember the time when Nabal was not going to give David and to his men any food to eat after David had protected his shepherd and his sheep and all the flocks of Nabal? Nabal said to David, there be many people that run away from their owners and masters today. Who are you? I'm not going to give you anything. And David was filled with anger, and he took all his men, and they were heading to Nabal. They were going to annihilate everyone in their camp and the family of Nabal. But the Lord sent Abigail. And the Lord sent Abigail out to meet David and to stop him from the great course of disaster that he was on. Oh, my friend, today we need to be delivered and preserved and kept from ourselves, because we are our own greatest enemy. Self-preservation, you know, that the Lord has instilled within us, it's a God-given part of our nature. Yes, we naturally want to do all within our own power to save our lives from harm and danger. We're not only to protect ourselves, but also to keep others from being concerned about the well-being that goes on within our own hearts and lives. Yes, we are to take care of others. Sometimes, though, as we pray that prayer, we look for the Lord to preserve us. We say, oh God, let me not look out to the others that may be causing problems. But as we come around the Lord's table, what does he admonish to do? Let a man, let a woman examine himself before the Lord, and then so let them eat. And you and I, friends, have more than enough real estate in our own hearts to examine. More than enough to say, Lord, I need your help to, in a practical way, that I might be able to overcome myself. You know, when we think about all the issues that come against a person in a practical way in this life, there quite frankly are times when we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand the reason why. In a very confused way, when a tragedy comes and life is taken, we wonder, why has God allowed this to happen? We ask at that time, where is the preserving grace and mercy of God? And it doesn't make any sense to us at all. This is a very real thing for the families and for the survivors of that bus crash in Saskatchewan. It happened on Friday. The team was only 10 minutes away from their destination as they were going to play their game. The members of the Humboldt Broncos hockey team. Maybe they ask, how did God preserve or keep that? Why would God allow such a thing? These are real questions that people are asking today. Maybe you're asking the same question. Maybe it comes into the heart of you as well. How did God preserve or keep us? Those people may be saying. A difference maybe of seconds, either delayed or seconds advanced. And friend, think about that in the course of your life every day. What you're about, what you're doing, where you're going. Do you not trust and know that a sovereign God oversees all things and that he has allowed something to come to pass for his greater purposes that you and I cannot enter into in the eternal decree and mind of the Lord? Christian, you must rest in the Lord at this time. You know, these tragedies only prove that the primary meaning of God's preservation, it is for us as a spiritual and eternal, those who are saved by the grace of God and who trust in the Lord. tragedy and disaster. It is part of the human experience. And though we pray that we will be excused from those things, that we will be able to circumvent them, yet we thank God that He is taking care of us and that He knows every single thing, because in the truth of Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. That is the only way, friend, that you'll ever be able to understand a great tragedy that has taken place. Were there believers on that bus? I do not know. I know none of the people personally. Testimonies, I'm sure, will come later on as time goes. But whether it be in that particular disaster that is fresh upon all our minds today, or whether it be something that's going to happen tomorrow in the life of one of us here, we do not know, friend. But you know the certainty of this? In all of the unknowns of our life, God is watching and preserving and keeping your soul. And that is the greater importance of all these things. Because yes, we might interpret one thing as being bad that happens to someone. Something else over here seems to be good. But our estimation of evil and good may be completely confused in the greater purposes of a sovereign God and what He is intending. Oh, friend, today, do not lose hope. Do not lose sight of the greater hand of the Lord upon you and your life. But today, trust in Him. And oh, friend, if you are not a believer this morning, there could be no greater purpose but to emphasize this to you. Come under the umbrella and the protection of God's mercy. Come under and receive the gift of His salvation and determine and know, I am going to live for God for whatever days He gives me left. I want to serve Him and I trust in Him, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I shared with the young people in assembly, I think it was the primary assembly this past week, we were thinking about the goodness of God and talking about that and some ways in which we define goodness and other ways which people don't. I think I've shared this illustration with you before, but it has to do with a man who lived under the reign of Queen Mary, Bloody Mary as she's called. And this man was a believer and he was condemned to death by burning. And one of the rules is that the person had to make their own way under their own strength up to the place where they were going to be executed. And he was horribly abused by the soldiers that took him from the prison and they were walking him to the place of his execution. And so badly was he mocked and handled that he fell over and in the fall he broke his leg. Well, that doesn't sound very nice, to break your leg. You know, the problem was, because he had a broken leg, they couldn't take this wounded man up to be executed. They had put him back in prison again. So, I guess his leg is set or whatever happened to it, we don't really know. But you know, in the very few days following after that, Queen Mary was deposed from the throne. And all executions were stayed. And that man saw his life received to him. And within moments of him being there and burned at the stake, executed for his faith in Christ, the Lord broke his leg. I think that man would thank God for every broken leg that he ever had or would have in the future, saying, this is the providence and the good hand of God upon me, because the Lord is watching, He's keeping, He's preserving. And of the all things that work together, friend, the Lord is interested in your life. You know, in the preservation of God to us in our lives, He preserves us from ourselves and from our own sinfulness. The purpose of our Christian life, we know well, is to bear the image of Christ, Jesus. Once we're saved, we're supposed to live for Him. We're to reflect His holiness and His goodness, His beauty. And so as we journey through our life faith walk, it is to bring us to peace, the place of glory. And for this, God has many, many signposts along the way. He tells us in His Word often, as we've read it already in Psalm 121 and here in this Psalm, He admonishes us to keep His covenant. He admonishes us to keep My commandments, Exodus 20, verse 6. And He says, in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. He told Joshua, keep yourself from the accursed thing. That's all around the story of Achan and how he brought great sin upon the camp of Israel. But the Lord told His people, do not do this. Keep yourself from this. Do not worship idols. Keep yourselves from fornication. He said that in Acts chapter 15. Isn't that a message for today? Keep yourself from viewing things on the internet that are going to contaminate your soul. Keep yourself from situations where you might be prone to fall into. Then, by God's grace, we say, no, Lord, I'll not go down that pathway. These are all vital things, and the Lord has commanded us in His Word. Now, here's one. Keep yourself from idols. What does that mean? 1 John 5 and 21. Someone says, well, it sounds like it depends on me to keep myself pure. In other words, I've got to keep the commandments of God some way. Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. Because that's exactly what God is saying in His Word. He wants us to follow Him in obedience. Exactly that. For obedience, as the little Sunday school chorus says, is the very best way to show that we believe. Do we fail? We fail regular. We fail often. But the goal is, by the indwelling Spirit of the Lord, that we are enabled and we have that desire. It is a God-given desire. It's placed within us by the Spirit. We love the Lord. We love His Word. We want to follow in obedience. So we say, when we fall into sin, we dishonor the Lord. We don't blame God for that. We don't say, oh Lord, you didn't give me enough grace to do this. You didn't protect me enough. No, that would be a very foolish thing to say against the Lord. For the Lord has given us many signs, many warnings, many commands. And He has given us the power of His Spirit to be able to overcome. Believer, we must own our own sin and be true to the evidence of our own heart. And seek the Lord that we might walk in fellowship with Him. This was the emphasis that Dr. Pollock was leaving with us in the whole Port Hope conference of the last week. We enjoyed his ministry and fellowship. And he was emphasizing the need of a Christian's walk. Certainly one of the emphatic points was to walk in the Spirit. And we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, God, He has directed us. Well, my friend, what does this preparation look like, preservation that God is speaking about in this word? What does it look like? Well, it has an enduring, an eternal property to it. Because God says, forever, I'm going to preserve you. What joy there is for me in that, because I could not preserve myself, but we are secure and safe in the Lord Jesus. And friend, you did not will yourself into Christ, and you don't will yourself out of Him. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it and perfect it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by His grace and we're brought into faith. But the Lord doesn't leave us there. He sanctifies us and He brings us on in our Christian walk. Ah, then He will see us secured and brought home to eternity. Yes, and it's all based upon the Lord. Look again at verse 28. It says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. The Lord loveth judgment. In verse 26, it speaks of the mercy of God. And we know that what this really means is for the child of God, it is a permanent preservation that God is speaking about. And the Lord is watching over, and it's for all His saints, because He will not forsake any of His people. The Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to be persecuted. I know what it is to be under the heel of the enemy. But notice what he says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 9. He says, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Yes, friends, we may be cast down, but we are not ever deserted by our great God. Genesis chapter 28 tells us these words, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That promise was to Jacob, but that promise is a good one.